Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee above all for the wonderful gift of salvation, the marvelous love in that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth or trusteth in Him hath everlasting life. A price that we could never pay, the Son of God paid for all. It says in Hebrews 2:9, He tasted death for every man. And yet salvation is only good to those that reach out and accept the free gift of salvation. Now, Father, as we enter in on Thy Word, we just trust that as we read it, we try to go through it, that the Holy Spirit would have His way, not so much the speaker or the hearer's way, but God's way, that we might observe and learn wonderful truths from Thy Word. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen. Now, up through the first 10 chapters of Numbers, we find that God was doing all the dealing. He was doing the caring for. We find there His wisdom, His care, and His foreknowledge. But you know, we can look at something else. Every time man sticks his fingers into it, he messes it up. You say, well, how can this be? Look at the Garden of Eden. Everything was perfect. Even mankind had no sin. Only one thing he wasn't to do. But Satan posed the question, or told them, he said, thou shalt be as gods. But God said they weren't to do it. They did it. Sin came into the world, and as a result of their sin, we're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. They're cast out of the garden. The dispensation of innocence, still God had to rebuke them, correct them. And then we find that the flood came along. The world was destroyed. Only 8 people were left alive. It's got a fresh beginning. Everything's new. We got a good start now, haven't we? Well, ahead of the nations, Noah. What do we find? He was found drunken. He was to control and rule and take care of the world. He couldn't take care of himself. We've been hearing something of that as Robbie was speaking at the opening. We're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We sin. We're sinners. And the person that says they aren't, they're deluding themselves. Then we find after this, we find down through the patriarchs, God had to come in and judge them. We find them in Egypt. And even there we find as a group they've got away from God. Now they come into the land of Canaan. But before they come into the land of Canaan, they come into the wilderness. Now, normally, they should have only been in the wilderness, if they had obeyed God, maybe a matter of months. We all know how long they were in the wilderness, 40 years. But it only took a few weeks to go from Egypt to Canaan. Why? Unbelief. Only 2 men went in, not even Moses and Aaron went in. Joshua and Caleb went in. They were faithful. They took God at His word. Then after they're in the land of Canaan, what happens? We can just go through the judges. When they were on top and everything was going beautiful, just like our nation today, they think they don't need God. God has to come in judgment. And each time it's more severe than the time before. They come all the way down to the time of grace. We're in the time of grace. Man messed that up to the time of the church. Let's look just for a moment. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 2 verses. 1 Corinthians 1. Let's 13:12. Well, let's go back up to the 10th verse. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them who are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every man of you saith, I am of Paul, or I of Apollos, or I of Cephas, or I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? See, if you want to call it that way, divisions were already coming in. Denominations, what are they? The divisions. And denominations are multiplying. Everywhere you turn, it's the church of this, the church of that, the church of the other. And yet, for everyone that has trusted Christ as Savior, God still sees one church. When they're breaking of bread, might be breaking bread here, another place, God sees one table. But He only recognizes those that have trusted Him as their personal Savior. As our brother was mentioning too, salvation is free, it's easy. But then God expects you to live it. Not that you're not going to fall, but like one sister here makes the statement quite a few times, I know the tree by the fruit. I'm a fruit inspector. If an individual has trusted Christ as Savior, there should be some indication that they belong to God. Now let us read the first 9 verses here. Now up to this point, remember, it was all God. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed those who were in the farthest part of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell to lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt, really, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof the color of Bethlehem. Now that's the color of pearls. You know what a pearl looks like, only it's in the liquid form. And the people went out and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Now we can look at a number of things. They're complaining. And who were the complainers? Where did it start? The farthest part of the camp. A little leaven does what? Leavens the whole lump. These people came out from Egypt, possibly just coming with them to gain their freedom. But they weren't gods. And you know, that leaven can slip in amongst God's people just as easy. I'd like to go through a few verses. We haven't got the time to look all of them up, so I will try to quote a good number of them. Ecclesiastes 7:20. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not one. Romans 3:23. It was quoted a little earlier. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not some, all of them. What does that mean? You're shooting at a target. If you miss the bullseye, you've missed it. If there's someone here that has done it, I'd like to know. Have you kept the first commandment? Nobody can keep the first commandment. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You know what that means? It doesn't mean you're on your knees all the time. It means that everything you do, everything you say, every place you go is done to the glory of God. Glenn Sheeler used to be the Sunday school superintendent here. He says statistics have proven that concentration of the best concentration only lasts for about 5 minutes. How quickly do we forget the things of God? We get wrapped up in legal things, things that are right, nothing wrong with them. But the Lord is left out. You've already broken the first commandment. And the second is like unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And you've got a total of 10 commandments. Ray Zander always used to use a little illustration of a chain with 10 links on it. How many links do you have to break the law? One. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not merely physical death, spiritual death. Unless they have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death. You've earned it. I've earned it. All of us have earned it. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now, we've heard this before about the gift. Remember reading of a preacher. This was years ago, a good Bible. $50, $60. Well, this one right here, 30 years old now. I guess it would, what was it, about $120. If you can buy it today. I don't know that they even make this type, the loose leaf. And Schofield notes. But this pastor, this evangelist was up in front, and he says, here, I want to give someone this Bible. It's a gift. No one came forward. Finally, a man came forward and said, here, I'll give you $10 for it. He says, a gift, free. Another man says, well, I'll come and I'll shovel your snow for you. In the springtime, I'll cut your grass. Little boy comes up and he hands him a penny. The preacher takes it and gives him the Bible. Was it a gift? No. He bought it for one penny. What a bargain. But nonetheless, he bought it. The only way it's a free gift is when he reaches out and accepts it and thanks the giver. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for the grip. I should know that one quick. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, we work after we're saved. But we're doing that because of our love for the one that gave us that free gift, that offered up his life for us. We're not doing that to gain salvation. Like some people would say, well, I'm saved now. I have to be baptized. No. You're baptized because of your love for him. That was his request. And for those that have been in the military, if you've got a good officer, unless it's a life and death situation, he requests that you do something. But friends, that is an order. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you've trusted him as Savior, is your commander in chief. 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, it said, this do in remembrance of me. Well, the Greek puts it this way, to do it ever so many times as possible. And then we find they came together when? The first day of the week to break bread. Not that the breaking of bread saved them, but because it was God's will. And as we gather together, we keep one another strong. You say, well, I'm strong enough, I don't need it. Is that right? You stay away from God's people very long, and I dare say we can find all kinds of faults spiritually. But as you're with one another, the stronger one should be there anyway to strengthen the weaker one. And the weaker one should be there that he might be strengthened. But we're one body. Just like your body is made up of billions of cells. But there's one brain that controls those cells. Most of us have heard how many circuits there are in your brain. 20 billion million circuits a second. All of the engineers in the world couldn't devise a circuit like that in a lifetime, let alone prove it. But every little baby that's born, the moment they're born, all those circuits are functioning. Okay, that brain tells this body what to do. It tells each cell what to do. God is the head of the church. Each one of us, if you will, are one of those cells. We should be obeying him. We should be looking to him for direction. We find in Jeremiah 17 and 9, I should be able to quote that one quickly too. Let me look at it. Unless somebody can get it started quick. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? How many times have we determined to do something for God? But we're doing it on our own strength. What's the first thing that's going to happen? We fall flat on our face. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't know our own heart. These people didn't know their own hearts. Psalm 51 and 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin was I conceived. Now that doesn't mean that sexual activity between husband and wife, that's beautiful. It's not that that's the sin. The blood that starts that little being is sinful blood, and it goes all the way back to Adam. If there's an illegitimate child, years ago, what they would do is they would test the blood of the men that might be involved in it. Now, if that child could have one drop of the mother's blood, the thing would be invalid. Everyone here doesn't have a drop of their mother's blood. They may even look like their mother. They may have her attributes, but you have your father's blood. That's why Christ was born of a virgin. If he could have had one drop of Mary's blood, he would have had to die for his own sin. Now that's a miracle right there. How that little being can be developed and formed in the mother's body and still not have a drop of her mother's blood. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. He was a sinless. There was nothing in him that drew him to sin. You and I, that's our nature, sin. Then I'd like to look, well, maybe I can remember it. Daniel 5, 27. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Every last one of us outside of Christ, we're lost. The weight and the balances and found wanting. And what were these people doing in the outside edge of the camp? They were grumbling. You know what grumbling is? Rebellion. And what is rebellion? If we were looking 1 Samuel 15:23, we needn't look there. There's not time. It's as the sin of witchcraft. And God hates witchcraft. Romans 5:28, or 5 and 8, I should be able to say that. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we are sinners yet, Christ died for us. John 3:16-18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever ever believeth or trusteth in him hath everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned. Now that believe means to trust. He that believeth or trusteth not is condemned already. If you haven't trusted Christ as Savior, you're already condemned. The 36th verse in the same chapter, he that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, the sword of almighty judgment is hanging over your head. For those of us that know Christ as Savior, and that's pictured by these Israelites, in Ephesians 1 and 6, we have been what? Accepted in the Beloved. And who is the Beloved? The Lord Jesus Christ. The second chapter, the same verse, the sixth verse, He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God sees us as though we were already seated in heaven. He's looking at us as though he were looking at us through his Son. 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happen unto them for examples. They're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Everything that has happened in the Old Testament and even up through the New Testament is something for us to learn from. Romans 15:4. Gotta look at it. If I get the start, I'll be all right. Romans 15:4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written throughout for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of the Holy Spirit might have life. We learn through God, through the Word of God. All right, now quickly, down through this, is to this mixed multitude, Galatians 2:4. Let's look at it, so we not only hear it, we see it. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in secretly to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. I was talking to a government lady about taxes, and mentioning denominationalism as a whole, Christendom. And I said they're organizations, they function like businesses, and she said, you're absolutely right. I explained to her how we meet, and she said, that's an organism. We're part of the body of Christ. We try to adhere what the Lord says, not what man says. Now, remember earlier when we were reading about Apollos, Paul, etc., four of them, Christ included. Most of these men that have started denominations, they meant well. Godly men. But the moment you add something to what God says, you're wrong. The moment you take something away from what God says, you're wrong. And most of these men did these things with good intentions. But we can go back farther. When Luther came out from Rome, remember, he was a priest. And he saw all the things that were wrong in the Roman Catholic Church. But you know what he said years later? He said, I brought too much baggage with me. And the denominations have picked that up down through the ages and even added to it. The gathering of the Lord's people is simple. And even if you come right down to the gospel meeting, in the New Testament times, they didn't have gospel meetings. They had prayer meetings and ministry meetings to do what? To speak to the Lord and to build God's people up. Then they went out in Acts, the first chapter, I believe it's the 8th verse, you find that we're what? Witnesses. And what does a witness do? He or she tells what they know. We tell about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and what awaits those that accept him, but also what awaits those that reject him. Now, some of the older ones here probably remember, like I do, used to go to a meeting, and when they were preaching the gospel, you could literally feel the flames going past you. I was a little boy, and I remember my mother frying bacon. I was just watching that one day. No way that this little guy is going to be in that fire for eternity. Now some say, well, you're trying to scare me into heaven. Well, friend, I'd rather scare you into heaven than to pat you on the back and see you walk into hell. It's for eternity. Now we just got barely started on this chapter. But remember, this is for a lesson for us. What was it these people from outside, on the outside edge, but they were bringing this stuff in, pretty soon it sweeps through the whole assembly. The same thing can happen here. And that doesn't just mean for the elders be watching for these things that creep in. Remember, we're all part of one body. All of us are to be observant to these things. If we see something creeping in that shouldn't be there. But the key is knowing Christ is your Savior. That's the most important. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for that wonderful love. We marvel at the fact that the Word of God, the written Word, speaks of Himself. We remember how that in two places, one in the Old Testament and one in the New, the Lord speaking, "Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do Thy will, O God." And then again, in another portion in John, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." And as an older brother of bygone years put it, the Christianity is not the church. Christianity is Christ. He is the center. Everything revolves around Himself. We thank Thee for Thy marvelous love and for the love that He was willing to die in the room instead of each one of us. We think of those that have been mentioned earlier that have been laid aside with illness, some with operations, some with lost ones. We pray that Thou would suit the needed blessing in each case, Father. And again, we think of our nation. We've been admonished by Thy word to pray for those that have the rule over us. We would that each one of them would trust Christ as Savior. Undoubtedly, there are those that know our Lord, but we wonder just how firm a stand they take. We would that as we draw closer and closer to the time of our Lord's return to take us to be with Himself, that these men, these women that know Christ as Savior, not only in the government, but in every walk of life, even in our families, that we would take a solid stand for our Lord and Savior. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen.